WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present The Quickening Report with your host, Patrick Wood. Patrick is a globally known expert on technocracy, transhumanism, and globalization. This show is for people who feel the rumblings of change, but can't quite figure out what it is or where it's headed. And now, here is your host, Patrick Wood.
And welcome to the Quickening Report. I'm Patrick Wood, your host for today and for probably until the Quickening Report isn't anymore, but we're here. People wonder still, what is the Quickening Report? And I'm going to explain it again. There's a process that goes on when people are kind of waking up to what's going on in the world. They see some things happen. They start to scratch their head and wonder what's going on. And maybe they've had their head in the sand for the last couple of years. They just really missed everything that's going along. But now they're waking up. This is the quickening process. This is why we call this report the Quickening Report. We want to encourage people to start thinking critically, start asking questions. I remember it was President Ronald Reagan who originally said, speaking about Russia, I suppose, at the time, or the USSR, trust but verify. The days of trust are just gone. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way this world is today. We may trust, but we must verify everything. There's no such thing as a free pass anymore. No matter what we hear in the news or see, whatever, we need to be thinking critically, and we need to be using discernment to figure out if something is true or not, or if we can lean on it or not. Well, that's the nature of the world today. It is what it is. We're trying to make sense of some of this stuff. Today, what we're going to do is we're going to make some comparisons between technocracy and some of the other major worldviews like communism, socialism, and fascism. There's a lot of talk about these today. These are real, very real things. Not denying at all that these things are real. We know they're real. Communism and socialism have been around for a very long time. We've been able to study it for a very long time and see it in action, by the way. Fascism the same way. We see, especially during World War II, what fascism led to and what it can lead to. It's very dangerous, very ugly, very oppressive. So it's only fair today that we make a comparison between technocracy and some of these other major systems of control. And so that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to start out, I'm going to give you some thoughts here as we look at this. And I want to, in particular, point to a book by the name of Connectography. It's by Dr. Parag Khanna, a global scholar I mentioned the other day on a previous broadcast. And Parag Khanna is one of those young, articulate, very bright, extremely bright young man. He's not young, so young anymore, but he's still pretty young compared to my generation for sure. I compared him the other day to kind of a modern day Zbigniew Brzezinski. He's of that caliber. He's part political scientist, part economist, part globalist, of course, and he's a very classic technocrat. He is a self-admitted technocrat, by the way. And this is one of the things that that he said in this book, Connectography. It was a very interesting book, I have to say. He said, we are building this global society without a global leader. Global order is no longer something that can be dictated or controlled from the top down. Globalization is itself the order. This is a very subtle technocrat thought that globalization itself is the order. It seems almost like it's autonomous, doesn't it? They're building the system to work together in such a way that it doesn't really need a global leader per se. They're building the system to work and to move forward, to progress on its own. This is a different thought for most people to kind of try to wrap their head around, but we need to. And as we look at technocracy in particular now, as we look at some of the differences, the shades of differences between these other worldviews and technocracy. Some things should become clear. And that's what we want to do here at the Quickening Report. We want to make things come clear, better, come into focus, so that we have a better framework with which to view things as they come at us. Sometimes it seems like they come at us just out of the blue, doesn't it? Where did that come from? Well, let's just look at some of these. I realize this is going to be a little bit tedious, but we'll get through it. You can follow down. I didn't highlight these or anything as I go down or number them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever, but I got a couple of pages of these to show you, and we'll just go through them quickly and see if we can make some sense out of it. Number one, the end game of technocracy in the left column is scientific dictatorship. That's where it's headed. Parag Khanna pretty much said that. Scientific dictatorship speaks of autonomy, speaks of things just happening automatically. Communism and socialism, the end game is a classless society. Now, this has been known for a very long time, and of course, in fascism, the end game is national strength. You can think of Italy with Mussolini during World War II. You can think of Hitler and, of course, in Nazi Germany. So then we compare, how do they feel about each other? Well, technocracy hates communists, and you might say they favor fascists to some extent, but they absolutely hate communists. They always have. I mentioned that the other day, too. Communism and socialism, however, really hates the fascists, and they also hate technocrats. We saw that also back in the early 1930s, 1940s. There was great antipathy between the technocrats and the communists of that day. And, of course, when it comes to fascism itself, fascism hates all types of Marxists in general. It's just they don't like much of anybody else. So if we look at down at the third point now, we see that technocracy has contempt for electoral democracy. Now we've talked about this already too. The hatred for political systems, for politicians in general. They don't like the politicians. They don't want the politicians even to be in play. So, you know, that's just unfortunately, you know, it's been that way ever since the 1930s. So we see to the right of that, that communism and socialism promotes electoral democracy. And indeed they do. They want people to vote. It's kind of a fool you type of a thing. They want people to think they're voting to make a difference. It really doesn't make a difference. Fascism, on the other hand, has contempt for electoral democracy altogether. They said, no, we're just going to run things. And we look down at the next item. We see that technocracy seeks a totalitarian system by scientific methods. And we've already discussed that. We know it does. It is totally totalitarian. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, seeks totalitarian system by communitarianism. This is the subtle difference here. I'm not going to go in and explain exactly what communitarianism is, but those of you who have studied Marxism probably, or communism and socialism, probably have an idea of what communitarianism is already. Fascism, on the other hand, seeks a totalitarian system by nationalistic submission. You submit to what the state says, and that will be the end of it. Technocracy relies on the cult of science, and that's scientism. We talked about scientism a little bit already. Communism, socialism relies on the cult of personality. And you can think about Stalin, Lenin, Mao Zedong, Che Guevara, others. The personality is the strong man in communism, socialism. In fascism, on the other hand, it relies upon the cult of personality again. And you can think of Hitler, Mussolini, same type of a idea. Technocracy, going to the left column again, technocracy promotes scientism. That's the worship of science. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, promotes atheism. This has always been the case going back to the beginning, certainly, of the USSR, and after the Bolshevik Revolution in 1918. Many Christians were killed, and they basically outlawed Christianity altogether. Fascism, on the other hand, is interesting. It promotes a form of Christianity. We've seen this historically as well. It's not Christianity, but it's a form of it. They have the label of being a Christian oriented. Lastly, on the left, last row is technocracy. Very specifically, promotes cities, and is anti-rural. This is an important thing. We've heard a lot about smart cities, about driving people into cities. We've been reading about the 15-minute cities now that are popping up all over the world, where you're limited in travel to 15 minutes of your domicile. That means everything you need, groceries, healthcare, whatever it might be, has to be within that 15-minute radius, or you'll pay, or you just won't go. So we see that with technocracy. It promotes cities, and it doesn't like the rural whatsoever. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, does promote rural development. That's very clear historically. They were rural-oriented. They wanted people to move out to the land rather than into the cities. And fascism is also anti-urban, and it promotes a rural identity. So this is a flavor of some of the differences between these three systems. Now let's just continue and look a little bit further here. We've got on the left again, capitalism, technocracy replaces capitalism with a resource-based economic system. I've talked about this already, that there has never been an economic system in the history of the world that was other than something related to free market economics. This is the first time anybody ever built one from scratch. But they want to replace capitalism with this resource-based economic system. This is, you could also call this the green economy. You could call it sustainable development. It's nothing more than warmed over technocracy from the 1930s. Communism, socialism, on the other hand, practice managed capitalism. That is, they dictate what the economic makeup will look like, but they're still using the same system that we're using now. It's a greatly corrupted and bastardized form of capitalism, for sure. But they don't replace, they don't take out money and say, we're not going to have any more currency to go cash, no concept of money, whereas technocracy wanted to use energy as money. Now, fascism generally supports capitalism for its own purposes, and we saw that historically as well. Technocracy despises capitalism. Let's just lay that right out. They absolutely think it's despicable, it's unworkable, it should die in a quick death. They thought in the 1930s that it would. They thought capitalism was dead. They were certain it was dead. It was just a matter of time before it rolled over and went into rigor mortis, and then they would come to the power, they would come into influence, and they would appoint their technocrats to lead the resource-based economic system according to their scientific method, if you will. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, mostly believe that capitalism was a necessary step to communism in the end. And that was also a clear doctrine over the decades that it never really happened that way, but we have seen it, we studied it, and that's exactly what he said. Fascism is views capitalism as the third way between capitalism and communism. That's relative, sort of similar to what communism, Marxism believes. Note that technocracy is apolitical. I've already discussed this in some detail and given some examples on how apolitical these technocrats are. They don't care who's in power. Democrat doesn't matter. Republican doesn't matter. They're all the same. Dare I use the phrase that politicians are the useful idiots of technocrats? Yes, they are. They would be the first ones, by the way, to get thrown under the bus if the technocrats ever take over. That's what they wanted to do. They failed, of course. They wanted to do that back in the 1930s when they encouraged FDR to declare himself dictator for the sake of implementing technocracy. FDR was a little shrewder than them, however, because he knew, hey, if I do that and I send Congress home and I send all the other elected bodies home, where does that leave me as president of the United States? He said, I don't think I'd have a very big future here. So he told them, no, not going to do that, and we got the New Deal instead, which wasn't very, very good deal for America either, but that's what we got. Now, going back to the left column again, I point out that technocracy is racially agnostic. They don't care either way. People are people, humans are humans, DNA is DNA, doesn't matter. Blood, all blood is red sort of thing. Communism and socialism, however, had an interesting history. Stalin, for instance, condemned anti-Semitism. Yeah. Fascism, on the other hand, tends toward anti-Semitism and racism. And they have there have been very racist fascist movements over the decades. We've seen them. Many people have condemned them. In technocracy, they highly revere intellectuals who agree with them. You can think of people in Silicon Valley, those who, well, we could say birds of a feather flock together. The smart ones, the quick ones, the inventive ones, the creative ones, love each other. And just because they're up there, you know, they're doing great things. So there's a lot of esteem for intellectuals who are on their side. Not all are. Communism and fascism, on the other hand, never really had a very good relationship with the intellectuals of their society. In fact, in historic Russia, USSR, they killed intellectuals in their own countries. And they did it on multiple occasions. It wasn't just a one-off thing, let's go out and kill the intellectuals. They specifically went out and sought them out, the smart ones, the educated ones, and they killed them. Technocrats would never do that. That would be a horror to a technocrat to do something like that. Fascism, on the other hand, they killed intellectuals too, but not in their own country. They valued intellectuals in their country. They killed the intellectuals in other countries. Well, yeah, it didn't turn out well for anybody to die, did it? Technocracy is generally pacifist. I say generally. They're generally not out to start wars. Wars are destructive. Wars are inefficient. Wars waste resources. Lots of reasons why war is not something that technocrats dive into. On the other hand, communism and socialism have been very warlike. But unfortunately for their own citizens, most of their citizens were the ones that got killed. There's a book called Democide that explains how governments in the last century especially have killed hundreds of millions of their own people. Very disturbing. Now, of course, when we look at fascism with relation to pacifism, they mostly kill citizens of other countries, plus undesirables like Jews during World War II, and so on. So one last, a few more of these here, just to, let's see, I got to get all of them here. Here we go. One, two, and there we go. Now, technocracy controls people with the system and the technology. We saw this with Dr. Parag Khanna's statement at the beginning of this session. The system controls things. Under communism and socialism, people control people. There's a big difference here. There is a system, of course, of the sort in communism and socialism, but it's people controlling people. And fascism is similar, but it's controlling people with a dictator. The dictator calls the shots, and you have to obey him, or else off with your head. Population-wise, technocracy views the world as being overpopulated. We see this everywhere. we talked about, once upon a time, we talked about the Population Bomb book by a famous entomologist from 1968. He compared his entomology as the study of bugs to people, decided, oh, the world's in big trouble because we're all going to multiply like crickets, and we're going to be elbow to elbow before you know it and be eating each other and, you know, dying off in waves and waves. Never worked out. None of it worked out. Communism and socialism, population is a non-issue. They just really don't care. Now, I will say in Russia, today, Russia has realized what a demographic bomb it has right now. And they actually are encouraging people to have children. They want people to have children to repopulate their own nation with their own people. Novel idea. So I think, as I remember, there was even a holiday they created once, a national holiday called, I don't remember what it was called, and I certainly wouldn't know it in Russian, but the idea was have babies, have baby day, you know, go home and, you know, snuggle up with your spouse or your significant other, whatever, and, you know, make some babies, and let's get going here, guys, repopulate the country. Fascism promoted, of course, genetic cleansing very selectively. Certain people were out, other people were encouraged to breed, if you will. Technocracy promotes universal basic income, always has, as written into the technocracy study course. That's where everybody receives an amount of money every month, whatever, every period of time, without any strings attached. Now, we see experiments on universal basic income all around the world today. There's at least a dozen going on right now in America. People are crazy for universal basic income. It's like they keep trying it, even though it fails. They keep trying it. So maybe it'll work this time. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, have a stratified pay structure according to the need of each citizen. You know, to communist, socialist mind, this makes sense. You know, if you need a certain amount, whatever, to live on, that's what you should have. Fascism, on the other hand, they had a stratified pay structure, but how much you got depended on what your value, your worth was to the leadership of the nation. So it wasn't like, well, I have a need, therefore I get this. No, it's like, if you're of value to us, we'll give you more. If you're not of value to us, you'll eat crumbs. Well, we saw a lot of people eat crumbs, by the way, under fascism, didn't we? Now, we see as far as the orientation of technocracy, it's very much oriented towards the global citizen. That is a city-state oriented. They wanted to create a system of city-states around the world, herd people into those city-states, and manage the people through this system, autonomous system, within those city-states. That's, by the way, that's what the book Connectography addresses to a large degree, is how these centers, these city-states, are connected, how things flow between them. The ships, the air, the airplanes, and the supply chain, et cetera, et cetera. communism and socialism, on the other hand, is nation-state oriented. Russia, the USSR, of course, was the USSR. It had defined borders and had a lot of barbed wire, by the way, around it. You couldn't get in and you couldn't get out. And fascism is nation-state oriented as well, always has been. So there's a big difference there. Technocracy seeks to dissolve the state. They don't want national borders. We see this today with our open border and with Mexico, especially with Mexico. They want to dissolve the nation state. Now, this is historically, there's a big history here. It goes way back even to Henry Kissinger in his early days, Zbigniew Brzezinski in his early days. They called for the nation state to be degraded and dissolved. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, is very much empowering of the state, wants a strong state, as does fascism. They want the state to be powerful, to be militarily powerful, to be powerful over the control of the people. Technocracy says that science knows best. How much have we heard this during the COVID debacle? Science knows best. Well, communism and socialism says, no, people know best. And that's what fascism said too. People know best. And depending on who's the people that is in power and control of your little cell or your pod, whatever, they'll tell you what's best. You don't need to turn to science to do that. Today, it's everything is science, science, science. Now, lastly, the social engineers of technocracy always hide behind the facade of science. You can't find them. They're very difficult to identify. Now, in the case of Anthony Fauci, health technocrat, he was pretty easy to identify, I suppose, because he's in front of a TV camera a lot. By and large, you don't know who these people are. They're hiding behind the facade of science. Oh, you don't need to know who I am. You just need to know what the science is. And that's what they tell you. Communism and socialism, on the other hand, has a leadership that is typically very easily identified. You just have to sometimes have to dig a little bit, but it's pretty easily identified. And the leadership within the fascist systems is pretty much the same way. You can identify the dictator. You can identify the people that are, that are controlling things, running things, whatever. And so kind of in conclusion to this, I want to say that communism and socialism are the greatest destructive forces to economic systems in the history of the world. Everything they touch turns to dirt. And we've seen this happen in the last century so much, it just stands your hair on end. You remember Christiana Figueres, who was the organizer of the Paris Climate Accord several years ago. She was the executive secretary of the UN Framework Convention on Climate Change. I don't know how she fit that on her business card. This is what she said. This is probably the most difficult task we've ever given ourselves, which is to intentionally transform the economic development model for the first time in history. This is the first time in history that mankind, we're setting ourselves the task of intentionally, within a defined period of time, to change the economic development model that has been reigning for at least 150 years since the Industrial Revolution. This was the declaration of war by the United Nations on capitalism and free market economics. They want to kill it. They want to do away with it. They want to replace it with a resource-based economic system. They want to replace it with a system that will control everything autonomously. Why bother with people and dictators? Well, the World Economic Forum has an answer for that, I suppose, in this whole debacle. Don't worry. You'll own nothing. And you'll be happy. Happy, happy, happy with all this scientific dictatorship controlling the system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's patently insane, my friends. Well, this has been some food for thought. You can review this again and pick up some subtleties, some other points and so on. But just think about it and think about how the scientific dictatorship is building here, using Marxism, socialism, and communism as a tool to kill capitalism and free market economics. I'm Patrick Wood for the Quickening Report. We'll see you next time. God bless.